Unforgettable. Yumna El-Sayed is a correspondent for Al Jazeera speaking to us from Gaza. Please be safe. And again, the condolences of our newsroom to your whole Al Jazeera family. Your last comment.
Yes, I just want to say one thing. I want to say this, and I want the world to remember my words. In my culture, in my language, we say, كَمَا تَدِينُ تُدَانُ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينَ. In your culture, in your language, they say, what goes around comes around. And when it comes around, like this whole world is watching the genocides happening in the Gaza Strip, we shall be watching too.
Yumna El-Sayed, thank you so much for joining us. Coming up, we go to Ramallah and the occupied West Bank, where we'll be joined by the longtime Palestinian diplomat and scholar, Hanan Ashrawi. Stay with us.
On the other side of the earth, as quiet stars fall to my night, tragedy in the Palestinian land. From behind the apartheid wall, a mother lulls her child to sleep. In the midst of Sunday clothes and the rumbling through the streets.
Taina Sili singing Strong Tree in one of the Palestine solidarity protests in Albany, New York. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
We're continuing to look at Israel's bombardment in Gaza as Israel and the United States reject growing calls for a ceasefire. The death toll in Gaza has topped 7,000 as Israel's bombardment continues for a 20th day amid a deepening humanitarian catastrophe as fuel, food and water run out. Israel began bombing on October 7th after Hamas carried out an attack that killed 1,400 people in Israel. We go now to the West Bank, where Israeli forces are continuing to arrest large numbers of Palestinians across the occupied West Bank. Overnight, at least 85 more Palestinians were detained in a series of raids in East Jerusalem, Hebron, and elsewhere. According to a Palestinian prisoners' rights group, nearly 1,500 people in the West Bank have been arrested since October 7th, many of whom are being held without charge under Israel's so-called administrative detention policy. Over 100 Palestinians have been killed across the West Bank this month.
We're joined now by Hanan Ashrawi, the Palestinian diplomat and scholar, formerly an executive committee member of the Palestine Liberation Organization, PLO, was the first woman to hold a seat in the highest executive body in Palestine. She also served as the official spokesperson of the Palestinian delegation to the Middle East peace process. Hanan Ashrawi, welcome back to Democracy Now! If you can, following Yumna, talk about what's happening today, the bombardment, the global calls for a ceasefire, including the UN Secretary General Guterres, and also talk about the U.S. response and what a difference it makes what the U.S. says.
Yes, absolutely, because the U.S. is not an even-handed observer or peace broker. The U.S. is certainly a partner in crime with Israel. The U.S. is funding Israel, is providing it with massive weapons, has sent aircraft carriers. The bombs being rained down on Gaza and sometimes on us are made in the U.S. The airplanes are American airplanes. And not just that, but the U.S. has decided to become spokespeople. The U.S. administration, including Biden and Blinken, in a horrible way, in which they have sacrificed their, not just their own credibility, but the credibility of the Americans by repeating the propaganda of the Israeli spin machine and by labeling and maligning and smearing the Palestinians and then calling us liars. So what Israel says in many ways affects, what the U.S. says affects public opinion as a whole. Even the Europeans swallowed all those lies at the beginning of the incursion, in which they accused the Palestinians of horrible things without evidence, without substantiation, without any kind of proof, and then it became actual fact. So let me say that now the U.S. has no credibility, whether at the political scene or at the military scene or at the moral or even legal scene, by consistently voting against any kind of ceasefire, by giving Israel not just a green line, but all the weapons, all the materials needed to continue with this genocide, and there's no other way for it to describe it, then the U.S. is in many ways is not just complicit, it's part of this war. And this war against Gaza is a massacre against civilians. 731 families have been totally eradicated. It's not just when we say 7,000 killed, 750, or several thousand children, 3,000 children, and so on. These are all human beings that we are seeing live on the air. We are seeing bodies torn to pieces. We are seeing people digging through the rubble. And we know that there are over 1,700 who are under the rubble, who cannot be dug out. People don't know who they are, where they are. There are children who've lost whole families. There are babies who are left alone and nobody knows to whom they belong. And there are massive mass graves in Gaza. It's just so horrific that to see Blinken or Biden stand up and say we don't believe the Palestinians. Well, look at Netanyahu. Pinocchio would be very happy with all the lies. They have a spin machine. We have a cause. That's the difference. They have weapons of mass destruction. They have Apache gunships. They have F-16s. They have everything that they can throw on innocent people, on whole families, on buildings, on neighborhoods, on whole areas, on hospitals and schools and universities. And I think our weapon is not just a moral stance, but also a legal stance. We have international law and we have right on our side. So that's the difference. We talk about asymmetry of power. Yes, they can kill all of us. And they've been trying to do that piecemeal and gradually in the West Bank, killing people, demolishing homes, extrajudicial assassinations, abductions of people, and so on. And in a massive way in Gaza, long distance, where they are not seen, where they are invisible. The Gazans are being killed by war machines that are provided by the U.S. So the asymmetry of power is, of course, in the power that is physical, that is destructive weapons. We have a human power, moral power. We are a people, as I said, with a cause and with justice on our side. And that we must continue on insisting on and pressing for the rest of the world to see. There is public opinion. It is moving. It is shifting. It's beginning to see through all the clouds of misconception and lies and smearing campaign. But the leaders, sooner or later, will be held accountable for not only swallowing these lies and repeating them, but also for being party to them and for being complicit in this. So it makes a difference. It makes a difference that the U.S. used its veto repeatedly to prevent any kind of justice for Palestine, and in this case, to prevent any kind of resolution on ceasefire. Ceasefire, for heaven's sake. Stopping the killing of innocents, the slaughter of people in a genocide that is unfolding before the eyes of the whole world. And they stand up and say, no ceasefire. It's just unconscionable.
And Dr. Ashrawi, quite apart from the fact that the U.S. is holding back on endorsing a ceasefire, Netanyahu spoke last night on Wednesday and continued to talk about a ground invasion. So as lethal and devastating as the present assault is on Gaza, What do you fear might happen with a ground invasion?
Actually, this is being used as scare tactics and as part of psychological warfare. And does Biden want a ground invasion or doesn't he? Does Netanyahu want one or doesn't he? What do the military say? What they don't? Look, a ground invasion, yes, can be lethal. It can be also a continuation of the massacre. But I think you cannot invade such a high density population, an area that is already under siege, that has also underground tunnels and so on, and expect it to be a picnic for them. I know they can kill more people. They've been killing people every day. So how much worse can it be? I mean, if you kill 8,000 and there are others and more and more, what do you want to do with a ground invasion? But let me say frankly, they had hoped at the beginning that with carpet bombing and with killing as many people as possible in the north and sending them south, then bombing them on the way and bombing them when they get to the south, that they had hoped they would carry out ethnic cleansing in the north and they would clear the way either for a ground invasion where there are no people or for a reoccupation of the north. At first, they hoped that all Palestinians can be expelled and kicked out and can go to Egypt or Jordan or whatever, which is part of the history of the Nakba, of the Palestinian disaster catastrophe in which Israel was created by a series of massacres against the Palestinians, the razing to the ground of 500 villages and more, the scare tactics of expulsion, uprooting people and expelling them and turning more than half the Palestinian people into refugees. They thought that this can be done now. Well, it can't be done now. Now they're talking about ground invasions and they're leaking news that they might flood the tunnels, for example, or they might use gas against them in the tunnels, or they will not. They will continue to prevent any kind of fuel from getting to Gaza so that the air in the tunnels will no longer be there and everybody will be killed, which is something that I think people should understand. It's not just the Palestinians there. There are hostages there. Hamas offered to release non-combatants, to release international people, and to release people who are not involved in this war. And they don't want to even talk about it in Israel, but they are willing to sacrifice all of them through such a massive campaign of slaughter again. So anyway, whatever they want, Israel clearly does not have a clear policy of what to do, because it is based not on justice, not on understanding what the real causes are and therefore what the real solutions are, but on inflicting more pain, killing more people, continuing with the genocide and pursuing Nakba politics that have not once produced any kind of peace or stability or security for anybody.
Dr. Ashrawi, I want to play two clips of President Biden speaking in the Rose Garden yesterday.
We also have to remember that Hamas does not represent, let me say it again, Hamas does not represent the vast majority of the Palestinian people on the Gaza Strip or anywhere else. Hamas is hiding behind Palestinian civilians and is despicable and not surprisingly cowardly as well. This also puts an added burden on Israel while they go after Hamas. But that does not lessen the need for to operate in a line with the laws of war.
During the news conference, Biden also questioned the reported death toll in Gaza.
No notion that Palestinians are telling the truth about how many people are killed. I'm sure innocents have been killed, and it's the price of waging a war. I think we should be incredibly careful. I think not we, the Israelis should be incredibly careful to be sure that they're focusing on going after the folks that are propagating this war.
So, two questions, Dr. Ashrawi. He's saying you can't trust the casualty figures that Gaza is putting out, and that Hamas does not have the support of the Palestinian people. Though he says that, he does not push for a ceasefire for the killing of civilians.
No, exactly not, because he's complicit, and I say it very openly. These are American weapons, American funding, billions of dollars are being poured on in the area, and American weapons are coming. What are they doing in our part of the world? Why do we want ships and bases and warships and aircraft carriers and so on to defend Americans What from? Where from? Why? But anyway, let me go back to the issue of this again, it's a way of demonizing and dehumanizing a whole segment of the Palestinian people. It is disingenuous to think that Hamas is just a separate group, or to continue with this slander that Hamas is ISIS, or this has to do with the Israelis being Jewish or whatever. It has nothing to do with that. And Hamas is not ISIS. I'm not a Hamas supporter, and I've never been, and I'm not a member. But they are 30% at least of the population. They ran for elections. They were part of the Legislative Council. They have a military wing, yes, and they have a political wing, yes, and they have social services and institutions and women's organizations and children's organizations, and they provide services in Gaza and elsewhere. So why do you insist on just labeling Hamas as a terrorist organization and not understanding the larger context? You cannot kill Hamas. You want to kill 30% of the people? You insisted on having democracy and elections and a pluralistic system, and we do. Look, in Israel, they have people who are more ideological, more to the extreme, more racist, and so on than any political party in Palestine. The real difference is that we are under occupation. The real difference is that there is a predisposition by Biden and others to malign the Palestinians and to believe everything the Israelis said. Did they have to walk back the issue of women being raped or children being beheaded or all that nonsense, doctored pictures and so on? What about the Al Ahli Anglican Hospital? They immediately, Israelis said, we bombed ourselves, the Palestinian rocket. They said that before when Shireen Abu Akleh was killed. Immediately the Israelis said that she was killed by Palestinian fire. It's amazing, the church of St. Porphyrius in Gaza. They immediately said no, it was... And Biden just blindly parrots everything he hears from the Israelis. And as I said, the Israelis have a spin machine, and they are good at it, I must say, because they spend billions on it. And we just have people who are people of conscience, people who know what's happening, people who are standing up now and exposing all these lies. And he dares say that we are the liars, that you can't believe the Palestinians. How come the UN has the same numbers? How come the US used to use the same numbers? Now you say, I don't believe them because you don't want to believe any evil of your protege. Israel is guilty of slaughter, of massacres, of ethnic cleansing, of genocide. These are the terms that describe a reality that is happening before your own eyes, Mr. Biden. I would like you to see our children as human beings, the women killed, people under the rubble who die under the rubble because we don't have the machines to get them out. Because also the first responders have been killed, because ambulances have been destroyed, because there are no roads to get to them, and because people are digging them out with their hands and they can hear them and they can get to them. Because a grandmother, I am one, was embracing the body of her daughter and her grandchildren and saying, please come to me in my dreams because I can't live without you. This is what you're doing, Mr. Biden. This is what the West is doing. We are refuse the recognition of our own humanity and our own rights, while the death machine that is destroying everything we stand for, that started with the establishment of Israel as a colonial outpost. Yes, we may not be white Anglo-Saxon or no, many of us are Christian, but you cannot use this racist division that the North deserves all power and protection and can get away with anything, literally with murder, while the South and the brown people or whatever color do not deserve it. Just stop this. Stop this colonial mentality. It has to be dealt with honestly. And you have to look at the facts, and you have to look at the truth, and you have to look yourself in the mirror, look at your eyes, and tell me that this is right, that you can get away with the murder of thousands.
Dr. Hanan Ashrawi, we thank you for
being
with us.
I'm getting a bit emotional.
You don't have to apologize.
Thank you.
Dr. Shrawi, Palestinian diplomat and scholar, formerly an executive committee member of the Palestine Liberation Organization, first woman to hold a seat in the highest executive body in Palestine. When we come back, UC Berkeley philosopher Professor Judith Butler, who signed onto a letter of Jewish writers calling for a ceasefire. Back in 20 seconds. Birth of Creation by The Comet is Coming. The group canceled their final show last week, saying, quote, in solidarity with the global call to strike by our Palestinian brothers and sisters who are in the midst of a genocidal assault, unquote. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
We're continuing our conversation on Israel's bombardment of Gaza. We're joined now by the philosopher and gender studies scholar Judith Butler, who's one of dozens of Jewish writers and artists who recently signed an open letter to President Biden calling for an immediate ceasefire. Judith Butler is the author of numerous books, including The Force of Nonviolence, An Ethical Political Bind, and Parting Ways, Jewishness and the Critique of Zionism. Their recent piece for the London Review of Books is headlined The Compass of Mourning. Judith Butler joins us today from Paris. They are a distinguished professor in the Graduate School at the University of Berkeley and the Hannah Arendt Chair at the European Graduate School. They're also on the advisory board of the Jewish Voice for Peace. Welcome to Democracy Now!, Professor Butler. If you could respond, we were just speaking to Dr. Ashrawi, who said that Palestinians have, quote, been refused the recognition of our own humanity and rights. You've written extensively on the way in which different lives are valued differently.
Yes. Well, let me simply say that everyone on this show who you have interviewed in Palestine has used the word genocide. And I think we need to take this word quite seriously because it does describe the situation in which a population is targeted, not just the military part, but the civilian part, and bombarded, dislocated forcibly. And plans are being made for relocation or the absolute razing of Gaza itself. So, as you know, there are legal groups like the Center for Constitutional Rights that has published a 40-page study on why it is correct to call what is happening to Palestinians now genocide. And other groups are studying international law and showing that genocide is not, it doesn't always look like the Nazi regime, but it can be the systematic undercutting of the livelihood, the health, the well-being, and the capacity to persist. This is exactly what is happening. Why it is that the U.S. media, for the most part, and the U.S. government has decided to be complicit with genocidal crimes is a major question. It is an alarming fact. And Hanan Ashrawi is right to say that it's not just that they're giving ideological support or spin doctors to say that Israeli genocidal violence is justified. They are actually giving weapons and support and counsel in order to effect this genocidal set of policies. So as far as I'm concerned, the Palestinians have been labeled as ungrievable. That is to say, they're not a group of people whose lives are being considered as worthy of value, of persisting, flourishing in this world. They, if they are lost, it is not considered to be a true loss because they are not just less than human, surely that, but not just less than human, but a threat to what the idea of the human is that is being defended by Zionist politics shared by Israel and the U.S. and many Western powers. So I think once we see these caricatures taking hold in public discourse, all Palestinians are Hamas, or Hamas is terrorist rather than, say, an armed resistance struggle, Israeli violence is morally justified, Palestinian violence is barbaric. Well, why wouldn't it be right to describe the bombardment of people in their homes and in their hospitals and in their schools, or as they are fleeing according to Israeli directives? Why isn't that barbaric? I mean, what we are seeing is not just the killing of Palestinian civilian lives as a casualty of war, a kind of byproduct. These civilians are targeted. So the targeting of civilians who belong to a particular group, ethnic, racially defined, that is a genocidal practice. That is what we are seeing. And we should all be standing up and objecting and calling for an end to genocide. It's true. I signed several petitions, one of which calls for an immediate ceasefire. That's the minimum. But the fact is that the violence that we're seeing belongs to a longstanding violence, 75-year-old violence that has been characterized by systematic dislocation, killing, imprisonment, detention, stolen land, damaged lives. We actually need a much fuller political solution to the situation. Until Palestine is free and people in Palestine are able to live as citizens or political actors in a world that they help to craft, they become self-governing, they belong to a democracy, we will continue to see violence. We will continue to see this structural violence producing this kind of resistance. So Judith I hope Butler, we don't, in the end, put a Band-Aid. Yeah.
Let me ask you, the Israeli Please. Politician Moshe Feiglin called for a Dresden on Gaza, referring to the World War II firebombing of the German city of Dresden, killing some 25,000
yes.
people, a storm of fire in all of Gaza. Naftali Bennett, the former prime minister, when asked about the killing of Israeli civilians of more than 1,400 people on October 7th, responded to the Sky anchor saying, "Are you seriously talking about Palestinian civilians? We just have 45 seconds, but your response."
Well, I think that one of the problems is that Palestinian civilians are not recognized as such. In other words, when you've accomplished rhetorically and through the media the identification of Palestine with terrorism and all Palestinians with terrorism, barbarism, and animality, then there are no civilians in the imaginary of those who are doing violence to them.
We want to thank.
That's false, and it has to be opposed.
We want to thank you for being with us. We're going to continue with part two of our discussion and post it at democracynow.org. Judith Butler is a philosopher, political commentator, and gender studies scholar, distinguished professor in the Graduate School at University of California, Berkeley, and the Hannah Arendt Chair at the European Graduate School on the advisory board of Jewish Voice for Peace. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh for another edition of Democracy Now!
CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.